Open in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to go a little different direction tonight because some things have come up this past few weeks and feel I need to address them tonight before we go any further. So I'm going to take a little detour off of our series on the parables of Jesus and the life lessons. But we're actually going to have an application of those life lessons tonight. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, which was a church very near and dear to his heart. And he says, I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as the Son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word again. So many examples that are applicable to our life. There's something going on, I'm sure, that if we took the time, you would reveal to us exactly what your word has to address every situation in our life. So tonight, Father, I thank you that as we get into your scriptures tonight and look into your word and see how it applies to us in this church, we just give you glory and honor. We will have ears to hear and eyes to see all that the Spirit is going to speak to us tonight. We thank you. We just give you glory and honor for the good work that you've begun in us and the good work you want to produce through us. In the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. To me, Timothy was a prime example of someone functioning in the ministry of helps and administrations. That's really what Paul was addressing to the Philippian church. He says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and I'm going to send Epaphroditus. I'm going to send these other people to you because they have functioned in a certain capacity and represented him and Christ in the gospel message that had been entrusted to Paul. So, and he goes on in Acts chapter 6, we know from there where it says, brethren, look out among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Through their faithfulness, these men were given opportunities to step into positions of responsibility and leadership. And from that position, then, they stepped up into other positions. In fact, we know Philip and Stephen and others actually went on to be other an evangelist, other ministry gifts besides just deacons, as Acts chapter 6 calls them. But through that, we realize, you know, as Psalm 75, verse 6, talks about promotion and authority comes from the Lord. That's where real promotion comes from. You know, you might promote yourself and push things out there, and you might get a promotion in the world. But when you're faithful, God will make sure you get promoted. God will make sure that doors of opportunity open to you. We know that from Scripture. So when we start looking at this, we have to look at our personal life. We have to look at our family life. We have to look at our church life. And we are in a very unique situation as a church, I believe, having the opportunity, as we do, to basically start over as a church and approach church with a new vision, in a sense, a new name, a new opportunity, a new location. There's just a lot of things that I believe God is revealing and showing to us. It's been almost a year now since we really started seeking and searching and being directed to Mendota Heights and what God wanted us to do in this community. And obviously things have not gone as fast as I would like as far as getting into the building and getting some things set up in the office. And there's just some natural things that I'm letting patience have its perfect work. But one of the things that I have been learning to do is let God do his thing while we just go ahead and cooperate with him while he gets his things done and he works through us. Amen? We're co-laborers with Christ. I'm not trying to do something for him. I'm doing something with him. Because if I try to get out in front of him, I'm guaranteed I'm going to get off track. So we need to stay with him, stay in connection with him. And because of that, we're going to make a very important announcement tonight. And that's why I'm keeping the kids in here, because this does affect the children as well. As of this week, and we'll be making it official here in a couple of weeks, we're going to bring on Sean Hawkins as an associate pastor. We'll be having an ordination service with him coming on Memorial Day weekend, and I'm sure you're all going to want to just wear your best. No, I'm just kidding. And be here for that particular service. That'll be May 26th, Memorial Day weekend. And I'm giving you some background and some understanding because it's the kind of thing that, as a decision, we did not make this lightly. This is something that has been bathed in prayer for a very, very long time. Almost a year ago, we added Sean to the board when, as many of you know, Pastor Doug Heldman went through a very difficult time, went through a divorce, had to step out of his position at his church, and he was the vice president on our board during that, up until that time, for many years, and we still maintain a good relationship with him, but he stepped down from a lot of responsibilities and ministries, and he stepped off of our board at the time. And so we wanted to bring someone on the board, and one of the decisions that Pastor Mary and I and our other two board members, as you know, that our auxiliary board members, if you want to call them that, Pastor Tim Davidson and Brother Tony Cook, who are our advisors on that, we decided to bring someone on board who was in the church, someone who, like Timothy was to Paul, had his same heart. And so we asked Sean if he would be willing to come on board as the vice president on the board. Excuse me. And he agreed to do that. After some prayerful consideration, I think he understands the seriousness of that position and helping direct and guide the church and the responsibilities of those decisions. So when we look at this position, it's going to have an impact on us, all of us, especially me, because I believe it's going to free Pastor Mary and I have to do some things that we have not been able to do because we're too bogged down with the everyday business of things. This doesn't change her position as the associate pastor. I'm still the founding pastor, the executive pastor, the senior pastor. These pastors throw titles around all the time. I'm just the main cook and bottle washer, however you want to put it. Pastor Mary's still the number one associate pastor, all right? She keeps me in line. Sean will also be an associate pastor. I know that some would question why we would need to have another associate pastor considering our present size and situation. Let me just say it this way. We do not plan to stay this way this long. I believe that we are positioned for breakthrough. I believe it with all my heart. And to do that, we need to have the right people in the right place to do those things. We need to set things in motion for the future. You don't all of a sudden, as Pastor Murray has taught many times in our equip class and so forth, you don't start praying or you don't start shingling your roof when the storm comes. You get it fixed beforehand. And having people in the right positions, doing the right things, is very important, I believe, for the future of the church. Now, I'm going to let Sean go ahead and share some of the things he wants to share as much as he needs to share what brought us to this. But I will say this, that we've had some of our ministry friends. Obviously, the Cries have been involved in this prayer process for a long time. But my pastor's prayer group has been praying about this for almost 2 years. Some of my pastors, Dave Ogren, Pastor Jim Olson, Dr. Jim Olson, excuse me, he's not pastor anymore. Others that I pray with on a consistent basis, and I've been around for a long, long time, we've been in discussions because all of us are getting to that stage in life and in ministry where the big question in the big circles is as soon as you hit 65, which I don't understand why anybody talks about this because I don't plan on retiring. All right, I'm just get that settled right now. Pastors don't retire, they refire, okay? And so I'm going to be like Pastor Hagen at 80 years old. I'm still going to be here. The only reason I wouldn't be is if Jesus comes and takes me out of here or, something else happens that I can't control. But in the meantime, I plan on being here, and I'm planning to be the founding pastor, the senior pastor, whatever title looks good on a business card. So that's not going to change. This is not Sean like he's going to, I'm going to take over the church. That's not the purpose of this. I know that he does not have aspirations for that. In fact, I know what he's just gone through in his professional life. He is not looking to be number one. He is a really good number two. He is the best person to step in and help us, as Timothy was to Paul. And so the decision, as I said, has been very prayed about, talked about. And the thing is, I never talked to Sean about it. I couldn't talk to Sean about it because I've seen people do that. And years ago, I actually did that with someone about the call of God in their life, scared them silly. Start jumping through hoops thinking that because I said it, that makes it authoritative in their life. People have to do things because God told them, not because I told them. I'm not God. I can confirm it, but I can't initiate it. And so we've learned that the hard way over 30 plus years of ministry. But Pastor Mary and I have known for a very, very long time that we would probably have Sean come alongside of us. Because in all reality, this is because this is something that Rhema has been pushing with their pastors. It's something that we talk about in RMAI circles all the time. If something happens to me, you know, you'd love to say it never would, but you still have to be prepared. If something were to happen to me, and Pastor Mary, you know, just a catastrophe, who would step in and take the church? Who would take over? Who's on the books? Who's got legal authority? We know some pastor friends down in Texas, or some pastor friends of ours who are connected to some pastors in Texas. They got off the airplane. Their associate pastor and some other people picked them up. They were driving home, got in a car wreck, and the pastor and his wife were both killed. That was not God's will. That was the enemy. The church went through some very challenging time because they weren't structured properly and legally for someone to step into the office to take over. I mean, there's all kinds of legal things, bank business, all kinds of things that have to be in place. Now, I had that when Doug was there and others were there, but we're changing all of that. So for Sean to be the vice president and now to come on board as the associate pastor is just a natural good thing as well. But spiritually, this is to me a catalyst for promotion. This to me is stepping up to another level of where I believe God wants us to go. And it's going to free Pastor Mary and I up to do a lot of things that, honestly, I'm just not equipped to do. I'm not gifted to do. I'm not the operations manager anymore. I'm really good at helps and administrations in the business world. I've been there, done that. I don't need to be doing that as the visionary for this church. I can't do it all. I'm not do-it-all dolly, so I can't be doing that. All right? For me, the decision became a reality for us when Sean came to us one day, how many weeks ago? I can't even remember. Monday after Easter, we sat down, and he sat in our sunroom with us and poured out his heart to us about some things. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. I'm going to let you hear it from him. Basically, it was confirmation of something we'd been waiting to hear for a very long time. And when I first heard it, thank God I used to be a poker player. Because I kept my poker face on the whole time he was talking. And, yep, good, that's great, Sean. And my wife kept looking at me like, you're going to say something? And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to say anything. And so we let him leave. Pastor Mary and I talked about it, and we prayed about it. We called some other people, talked about it, and then Sean came back again and talked to us again. So God spoke to him some more. I'm like, yes, God, you're so good. You have to hear from God for yourself. If I'd have said something prematurely, then sometimes someone could look back and say, oh, it didn't work out, and you said it. You planted that seed. You initiated that. Now, Sean will tell you that over the 30 years or whatever it is he's been around us, 1985, you and your family joined the church. Christmas Eve, 1985, and I mean, even for a season, he actually lived with us for a season while his family was in transition. So he is like an adopted son. He is like this, Timothy's son in the Lord. He is, you know, our son's best friend, been around. And he's probably been around me, as far as this church, looking around this room, he's been around me probably almost as long as just about anybody. So maybe Lewis and Annette, who were at our Bible study before that. Other than that, I mean, I think Sean has been in my house and part of our family for all those years. So if there's anybody that understands me and my heart and my vision and ministry, there's no question there. I know that he has my heart. So when you look at these similarities and these perspectives of the qualifications that Paul's talking about, Timothy says that he may be of good comfort, that I may know your state. No man's as like-minded or naturally going to care for your state. No one's going to, for others seek their own, not the will of Christ. To know the proof of him, he's the son with the father, served with me in the gospel. Well, those are all King James. But when you look at some other translations, basically what I have put in my heart about it was that we may be encouraged by someone coming alongside of us. And then he can give us first-hand news of how things are going in the church. He is a kindred spirit. He will be genuinely interested and concerned about the welfare of what's going on in the church. He will not be seeking his own interests, but it matters most to Jesus and the church. We know his proven character. Like a father and a son, we've worked together for many years, and he has served faithfully in promoting the gospel. That's right out of other translations. That's exactly how I see our relationship and the qualifications of Sean being able to step into this position. I have been involved with enough churches and ministries over the years to see where people have gone outside their circles to try to hire a pastor or an associate or a worship leader or something. I think I'm being generous if I said 50% of the time it worked. Probably most of the time it doesn't. Because the person hasn't come in with the same vision, the same heart, and doesn't know that culture or that church or those people very well yet. It might take a while. But just to come in at that level of authority and responsibility is a challenge. I don't think that's going to be an issue. In fact, I've had some pastors already, back just a month or two ago, challenge me about... let me back up. In our pastors' groups, one of the things that comes up a lot, because a number of the pastors I know that have gotten up into their 60s and 70s and have turned over their church, merged their church with other churches, or God's called them off to other things, they always kind of use this cliche, and maybe you've heard it, you're not a success unless you have a successor. Have you ever heard that cliche? It's out there in the business world, but it's also in the church world. You're really not a success unless you have a successor lined up. Because if something happens to you as the senior pastor, what's going to happen to the church? And so that was always something that people would say, well, you know, how do we pray for you, Hanson? How do we do this? How do we do that? And I'd say, I got my eye on somebody. And I wouldn't say a whole lot. There'd just be a couple people I would talk to and hold them in complete confidence and say, well, here's the number one name of who I believe, or Mary and I do believe, God is grooming and preparing. Because over the years, as I started to say earlier, Sean will tell you, people would come up and say, oh, you should go to Rhema. You're called to a pastor. You should be preaching, blah, 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 blah. And fortunately, he was mature enough to not let that go to his head. And he was mature enough to bring that to us and say, Pastor, what do you think about all that? And I just said, well, just sit on it. What bears witness to you? You're going to have to know what God's told you to do. Don't go on what someone else prophesies over you or says to you or anything else, because if someone prophesies over you, then they're accountable. be careful for that. So for me, when I go through this list, and even when you go through Epaphroditus as a deacon or as someone in, you know, other people, and there's people in this church like the Otts and the Duns and some of you others that are, you know, you've stepped up into leadership. You've been with us for years. You know our hearts. You know the vision of this church. And as he says, Epaphroditus is my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, your messenger, he that has ministered unto my wants. Well, again, you look at other translations, he's my true brother and good friend, my companion and co-worker, my comrade in arms. He says, your special messenger and minister to help us wherever needed. And that is what Sean Dunn, Josh, others in here have stepped up and done that. And so I look at these positions and I am blessed to have the kind of leadership and loyalty and faithfulness in our church. In fact, I'm just going to be very blunt. For our size church, when I talk to our other pastors who are much bigger than our church, and I talk about what I call my PJs, people always joke about, I have my meeting every Tuesday morning with my PJs. They go, what? They think I'm getting up in the morning and meeting with someone in my pajamas. That's not what that means. When I meet with my PJs, it's something the Lord gave me years ago after we did our Timothy group. PJs is Peter, James, John, and Andrew. You put those together, those are the three or four people that Jesus always had with him when he had significant experiences. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, the PJs. Never mind, you got it right. They were there during the Transfiguration. They were there during very significant spiritual times. And so those PJs are very crucial and very vital people in my discipleship realm, my discipleship circles. And Sean's been part of those PJs since the beginning. So I have every confidence and trust in him. So when I think about the associate pastor position, I'm planning as the senior pastor and Pastor Mary as the associate pastor to tap into Sean to help us get some things done. And we've talked with them and we met with Sean and Char here, had dinner with them. And as he recently just told it to someone after some small talk, finally got around to the serious business, and I popped the question on him. Well, you've decided you're going to do this and you're going to do that. What have you thought about coming on board with the church? And he had just basically said God told him to do that. So I'm going to ask Sean to come up here for just a second and give a couple-minute dissertation of whatever you feel led to do so now. I'm going to have him preaching here in a couple weeks to let him give the whole spiel, but whatever you feel led to do right now.
Sure. Hello. Hi. I would say for me, Pastor alluded to some of the stuff that I've, struggle isn't the right word, but I've had to process in my head and my heart and my emotions that go back easily to 96, 97, 98, and where ministers that if I said their names, you'd all go, oh, I know them, would come through our church, and we would have all these special guests and ministers, and I got involved in music ministry, and God began to create doors of opportunity for exhortation, and these are all things that, these are God's gifts and abilities of which they're without repentance, and you can't take them back. I can do something with it or not. And so in my 20s, a lot of people would corner me in the back cinder block hallways of Established Heart and prophesy or tell me what I should be doing. I just didn't have peace about it, but it gets your brain going. And I can remember just before I started working for Pastor's daughter, 18 years ago now, sitting with him in Perkins and basically saying, is there a job opportunity for me at Established Heart? And, Pastor, very graciously, I'm sure. I can't remember the look in his face, but either way, I was like, no, go get some experience. I never thought about that much at all. So this isn't something that I thought of 20 plus years ago and then like have been working my way towards. In fact, God didn't really even bring that to my remembrance until recently. But that happened. Shortly after that happened, I was walking through the halls of Established Heart. I was walking past Pastor's daughter and her husband, and God told me in a very clear voice, not audible, not anything spooky or weird, but I knew that God said, talk to them about a job. I had just gotten a promotion at a Fortune 500 company. I was thrilled that I got to wear a suit every day. My wife was pregnant with Grant. I mean, everything was moving in the right direction. And I'm, constantly deflating an ego because these big ministers come in and tell me that you should be a minister. And so as I'm passing Jennifer, I just instantly didn't even talk to my wife. I don't advise this, but I didn't. And I just said, do you guys got a minute? We zipped into the nursery. They sat down in a rocking chair and I said, would you ever consider hiring a guy like me? They had just started an auto glass company. They were working out of their bedroom. It was just the two of them. And Char was there doing some billing stuff. Pastor Mary was helping her out. I mean, so small. Char was watching daycare, watching Ryan. And anyway, we talked. They sat back in their chair. They were in awe. They said they had been praying for God to send somebody like that. And it was very humbling. And so Grant was born. And from the hospital, I put my notice in at this Fortune 500 company. They were a bit shocked. And then I started. And I was there for a good 6+ years. We grew it from that bedroom to multiple facilities, to vans, to fleets of people, to making millions of dollars, and all these things happening. And then one day I called Eric, pastor's son, after being very, very successful in terms of my experience and my promotions at Liberty. And I called Eric to ask him something that turned into a misunderstanding. He thought I was asking for a job, of which I wasn't. And that conversation led to me hanging up the phone, walking into our bedroom before we went to sleep, and told my wife, I think I'm leaving Liberty. I'm going to go work for Eric. And she's like, whoa. And within days, I put my notice in and I began to work for Eric. And what I've said, and I say it from my heart, and some people in the church understand, like just the church in general, unsaved people look at me like, that's weird. But I've said countless times, when people ask, what do you do? Well, I work for my pastor's kids. I'm supporting pastor through supporting his children and his children's children. And when I started out at August Dash, where I eventually worked into the role of president, I started in that company when it was Eric. I worked for 4 months in the corner of his desk. He sat here in the big corner, in the big desk, which was a supply closet that he rented. And I sat in the corner, and he had his three employees outside of that. And I worked from that point to going from hundreds of thousands of dollars as a company to millions of dollars as a company, to serving thousands of clients, to building up teams, to working with companies like 3M and Target, and all the success in the natural of working for pastor's kids. And I'll get into more later, but just to give some context, not because I have to convince anyone that this is God, because I know that it's God, and I trust my pastors with everything, and I know that this is God. But I sat on the Saturday before Easter, after doing an amazing turnaround in the last year at August Ash, some things that I'm pretty proud of in the natural, and I sat back, and as the special music was happening, God told me it's time to go, it's time to resign. What? And I sat there, shocked. I don't know if God's spoken to you in that still small voice in such a way where you just know that you know it's God. And so I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. This is my best friend that I've known since I was 10 years old. We're on a rebuild as a company. I'm standing in the office of president of this business. I'm serving people and companies. And what? And so I went and taught children's church, and the whole time I was kind of zoned out. My wife figured something was off. I didn't talk to her. I didn't talk to anybody. Went for multiple days, and I knew that this was God. And so anyway, fast forward, I resigned from my position as president. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was going to have a paycheck. But what I do know is that we can walk by faith and not by sight. And God never, ever, ever lets us down. And I saw that example in our pastors. I saw it in just the fact that this church existed. I was fortunate from my perspective to be here on the night before that Saturday night service talking with Pastor Connie and Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Mary, and just in awe that this ram in the thicket had shown up. And then it just blew my mind. So God does all this stuff. I talk to pastors. He has an amazing poker face. There was never a thought, not even a slight thought, nothing about that this would be where there would be an opportunity for me. All I knew is I have no idea where I'm going. And so we didn't tell our kids till recently. I told my wife that Sunday night, resigned, talked it through with Eric, pastor's son, who I work for. By the way, I still work for him. We can get to more details later. But the next Saturday, I'm sitting at church, and without anybody saying anything to anyone, I heard as clear as day, you're going to work for him now. So I worked for his daughter, I worked for his son, and now I'm going to work for him. And I was so shocked by that I went and wrote it down in my little journal app. I didn't tell Shar, I didn't tell anybody again. And then at the end of the service, pastor's like, hey, you and Shar want to get together for dinner? It's Charlene's birthday. And inside I'm going, no way. Like, this is it's Shar's birthday. We're just going to go have dinner. No way. And so we go, on the way to dinner, I tell Shar. I'm like, and if pastors don't bring this up, don't ever bring this up. Like, I'm not asking for this. God said something to me that I think is real. And then that same day, pastor says, let's go have dinner. So we get through dinner, and then pastor's like, well, I want to tell you something. And as soon as he did, I have no poker face. He's like, by the look on your face, I think you know something's up. And so anyway, so those are the little things that God's done. And since that time period, there have been things lining up for the company I work for. A job opening was created for me within that company that aligned completely with some things that Eric, pastor's son, had been praying about. Eric wrote some things down a month before any of this happened, and he shared that with me in a very just a one-on-one conversation that just, even in the natural, let alone spiritual, just blew my mind. And none of us were talking or communicating. And so that opened the door for me to still work full-time leading the teams at August Ash. I'm no longer the president. Eric's stepping back into that role that he's been in. It allowed him to do some things for the last couple of years. So, and then to be able to have the focus now to support the vision of this church, to really just be obedient to what God's told me to do, and to work for, now pastor. So there's a lot more, but I think that's...
All right. So as we've been saying, we've been discussing a lot of these things. There are certain responsibilities that I am looking forward to. You want to share anything at this time?
Well, I think the main thing that's on my heart is there in Acts chapter 6 where, when we met with Sean and Shar for dinner that night, I don't remember exactly the phrase I used, but I think I told Sean and Shar, I said, there's all these things that need to be done, and we just stink at all of that stuff. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to do this stuff. We need somebody who knows how to do it. And we know what we're good at, but we know what we're not good at. And we the last couple of years we've kind of fumbled along because we've been in this transition mode, and there's just a whole lot of things that are in our hearts to be done, but we don't know the first thing about how to do it. But you know what? He does, because he's done it already. In other capacities, and so to have somebody to take on that part of the responsibility helps us see more in Acts chapter 6 that when those types of responsibilities are taken out of your hands, then you can give yourself to the things that you're really good at. And that's what we want to do. And it's interesting because on last Monday night, Dennis prayed over us. Does anybody remember specifically what he prayed? But I felt that was just in line with what he just offered up, some prayer about increase and stepping up and things like that. And I thought, man, that just fits this so perfectly. Because in order for this church to grow, then we have to grow too. We, you know, as individuals, we have to grow and we have to be able to focus on, you know, putting first things first. And for us, not that any of the things that need to be done that Sean is going to be able to spearhead for us aren't important. These are really important things, but they're just not things we need to be preoccupying ourselves with. And in when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing more fully and more completely, well, then what it says in Ephesians chapter 4 kicks in, and that is that when every joint begins to supply. So Sean stepping into this position is going to help others begin to step into some more positions, facilitating things and just things that we've kind of had on hold for a long time. So in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when every joint is supplying, bringing their supply, the body grows.
Brings increase.
And the body is unified. And we've already seen that. I think I shared that last week. We've already seen that from prayer. What a unifying effect that can have on us. So I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited because there's just all these things that, you know, simple things like just the changes we want to make that we've agreed to, some things we've agreed to do with Pastor Connie, to our foyer here and things like that, and getting things like that done. You know, we don't want to even be involved in it. We just want to write out the check or whatever we have to do. But to have somebody else run with that and not to have to even think about it, I think that's the thing, is it's not even that we're doing it, it's just having to even think about it and put mental energy into it. And it's so nice not to have to do that. So it's going to have a really good effect, I believe, on us personally, and it'll help us grow in another direction, in another capacity, in our giftings. There's some things that we've got on that Pastor will talk about here that are in the making or going to be in the works, and I'm excited. I mean, we've got some young people in our church that are savvy in areas of social media and stuff that we want to start tapping into. And there's a whole lot of things that we're not doing right now that we could be doing. But we're not doing them because we don't know how to do it. And we're not ashamed to say that. We just don't know how to do it. You know, it's okay, right? It's okay.
Do it all, Dolly.
Thanks, Sean. I'm so glad it's okay. What? I'm on Instagram.
I'm not a twit.
Not a Twitter, though. I'm not a Twitter.
I'm not a twit. So as the operations manager, which is Sean's new title, if I may say that, at August Ash, which is really where his strengths are and his giftedness is, in all reality, that's what we're going to be tapping into as his business experience, as Pastor Marie just said. In all reality, he's going to be our operations manager. And as I've told him very bluntly, he is going to have to help both Pastor Ray and I to stay on track with this. Because I come from a business background. I did a lot of what he's done. And I'm very administratively strong. I can get in there and do that. Problem is, I don't need to be doing it. It comes easy for me. So then it's a natural thing for me to go that direction. And then all of a sudden, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is my primary. And years ago, there was a message that went out, if you want to fail, get caught up with secondary activities. That's the will to fail. Allow your primary responsibilities to be shoved aside and get caught up with secondary activities. That's a pure, simple definition of failure, because you'll never get around to the things you're supposed to be doing. So as far as implementing the vision, you well know the scriptures, Habakkuk and others, where you write the vision on the wall so that others may run that read it. So you have to be able to read it, and you have to be able to run. And in a sense, you have to be able to help those get organized and directed to make sure they're all running in the right direction and in the right lane. And for me, implementing the vision and organizing that and facilitating that is really what I need help doing. Because there's so many times if I don't have someone helping me do it, and keeping me on track with that, other things pop up because there are other things that God has called me to do. I've shared this before, but in July of 1977, my first camp meeting, on Thursday night, I was up in the nosebleed section at the auditorium. I believe Kenneth Copeland was preaching that night, and I had been fasting all day and just saying, Lord, I really need to hear from heaven tonight. And while I was up there, I don't remember what Copeland preached on for about a half an hour, but I remember this very clearly, that God spoke to me and said, I would be a teacher of teachers and a minister to ministers. I was a young Christian. I had no experience. I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm thinking, that's probably the devil. That's probably trying to confuse me. And yet, I heard that very clearly. I didn't tell anybody about it for a long, long, long time. I didn't tell anybody about it until other people started coming around and laying hands on me and prophesying, saying, God just showed me you're going to be a minister to ministers and a teacher to teacher. And then they threw in, and a pastor to pastors. And I'm going, okay. I can't tell you how many times I have heard that prophesied over me. And I have never tried to make that happen. I've never pushed myself out there. And yet, how many times have opportunities come up where I have ministered to ministers? And I have pastored to pastors. And I have been teaching teachers. It's happened. I don't even try. And I find myself in those situations numerous times over the years. Because that's what God has also called me to do. As a pastor in this church, the good thing is it's given me the liberty to do that. I'm not bogged down with all the day-to-day stuff going on because we haven't been a big church. Now, sometimes you'd think, oh, man, I wish we were bigger. I do, too. I'm believing God for Gideon's 300 and David's 400. That's what I'm confessing all the time now. That's where I'm standing. God, give us people who are hungry for the truth of God's word. And I want Gideon's 300. I don't care if 30,000 people showed up. We'll whittle it down to 300 really committed people to start with. Because that's where, God kept whittling it down. He says, no, no, that's not enough. With those 300, you're going to change the world. All right. And then David's 400, he called it the 3D church. Those were that were depressed. No, never mind. So, you know that story. So you look at that, and this will, I believe, just give us an opportunity to do some things, to initiate some things. But I told Sean, I said, if we're going to need something done by Tuesday at 4 o'clock, tell me that's what you need. Because then I'll get it done by Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I need to be under a deadline. Because otherwise, by Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I'll have three things happen to me, and I'll never get to it. Because I'm in charge of my own schedule. I'm not accountable or answerable to somebody else. And I said, I want you to hold me accountable for these things. Hold us accountable when we have to get something done by a specific date, for a specific purpose. Like the website. You know why the website isn't up to date? Right here. This guy right here. My fault. He's asked me probably a dozen times. All I need is content. It's ready to go. I can push the button. We can do this. And I'm going, okay. It's just easier not to do it. It's not a priority. I got other things that come up. But I need to do it. Or I need to delegate it to somebody. That's where it's coming in. So when it comes to the Ministry of Helps, he's going to help me stay on track with these specific projects. He's going to help with the office. We've talked about the whole thing with our outreach efforts, coming up with the parents and the children here that we're going to be instituting with Sunshine, that she is very excited about, very on board with. In fact, I'm going to just say it right now. She's actually, again, asked us and approached us about sponsoring a VBS here in August. So we're probably going to get on board with that. What an opportunity to reach into all these kids, 100 kids here, and to be able to have a VBS here with a built-in audience, in a sense, with all these families and kids. So to me, one of the things that God spoke to us a long time ago is get our message out on every available voice. We haven't been real good at that. A lot of people have come up to me recently since we came here into this building and asked, when is Pastor Murray going to start the Equip class again? And it's amazing how many times someone starts giving a testimony and they always remember what Pastor Murray said. I don't feel bad about that. I'm glad that her messages have such an impact. See, everybody just so used to me that it just goes in, it's like you're just clothed in it. It just absorbs into you. You're just soaked in it. You just know it. But when Pastor Mary gives something, they're like, wow. So I've been pushing her. and just saying, we got to do something. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we were out walking around trying to figure, can we do something in the hallway? Can we get set up in the classroom? That we really don't have access to any more classrooms right now. What can we do here? And finally, as we were talking about this, all came together when Sean came to us and said, I believe I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm going, yes, thank you, Jesus. Because I'm just going to be very blunt with you. The original vision for 242 was for us, remember, we started this, for those of you who were at the very first one, we tried real hard to have a live broadcast. Remember that? And we tried to have like FaceTime or something, and we tried to set up the screen in our house and teach for 10 or 15 minutes. And I think it was Megan. I can remember Megan. I can hear you, but I can't see you. And I'm going, so push this button, try that, move your antenna, plug this in. And whoever it was, maybe it was Mary Graves. No, I can't imagine. So one of the things that I believe we're supposed to do is have our, go back to that original vision for the 242 class and really incorporate the equip class into 242. And so Pastor Mary and I have been talking about specifically, I'm going to primarily have her being responsible for this to do a 10, 15, 20-minute teaching, some of the things that she would have done like at the equip class. But we're going to set that up where it's going to be videotaped. The video will be put into Dropbox. The 242 group leaders then will have access to that. I've already talked to the group leaders and let them know that most of them are winding down the series that they're doing. Some of them have like 2 weeks left or 3 weeks left. So by the end of May, almost all of them will be done with whatever series they're on. Everyone's going to take the month of June off, just to give everybody the summer off, that part of it. And our goal is to be launched and up and running by after the 4th of July, then with the debut of Pastor Mary's initial 242. So we're believing God that it will be all done by then. But what's really blessed is I know that Sean has talked to Grant. I'm going to make fun of Grant back there now. He's got his laptop right there already. And he's been learning how to do some video stuff. And he's going to be our videography person. And so we're excited about some of this stuff. Because this is, years ago you heard the phrase that the younger generation is the sight and sound generation. And that's true. And to be able to open it up and have, really our midweek service, because we can't use this building midweek right now. And 242 basically took the place of our Wednesday night service. Having us initially be the speaker was what the intention was, has always been part of the 242. And then because we couldn't do it, we started doing other videos and other things. And we just need to get back to what God told us to do originally. So that's the goal. That's the purpose. Get back to that original intent. Have a weekly lesson out there. I know there's some things that I'm going to be doing as far as new centurions again. God's really put some things on my heart about that to restart that again on a monthly basis. We're going to get the website up and running. One of the things that I believe we're supposed to do. Do you want to talk about the blog? She's going to let me talk about it. We've talked for a long time about having some articles and things on the website. And finally, after some prayer and persuasion, Pastor Mary said, I really feel I'm supposed to be writing a blog on the website. And whether it's just a few, just a little half page or one page thing, whether it's once a week or whatever she's got, because every day she's getting something good and she preaches it to me, so might as well you guys get it too. But it can be posted on the website, we've got the technology to do it. In fact, Sean and I were talking about, I used to be on the radio years ago. Some of you might remember this. I used to do a thing called Sela. It was a 90-second little thing, a little 90-second teaching. Can you imagine me teaching for 90 seconds? Huh? I worked so hard. I had to write and rewrite and rewrite and get it down to so many words. Thank God for the computer that says you're at 742 words. Because I knew that if I got over 750 words, I couldn't read it in less than 90 seconds. And a friend of mine was the manager of a particular Christian radio station at the time. And so he plugged us in for a very minimal fee right before Brother Hagin and right after Andrew Womack. And so we had a prime spot, and we had 90 seconds, and it was called Sila. Stop and meditate on that. Stop and think about that. And I said, you know, there's no reason that I can't take some of those and start writing those again. All it takes is 60 to 90 seconds to read it and put those on the website again or put those out as an email or as some type of thing. But again, unless I've got someone saying to me, I need your Silas by 2 o'clock on Tuesday, it ain't going to happen. I just know me. It doesn't happen because by 1:30 at Tuesday, somebody's calling me and interrupting me. And the next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock on Tuesday and I missed the deadline. So I need to discipline myself, and I need someone to help me discipline myself. I need someone to do that. And thank God I'm going to be having that now as an associate pastor and an operations manager. And I just believe that there's so many things, as Pastor Murray just said, we're going to tap into some of these younger people who understand social media as far as all the things that are out there, Facebook, and people have said, why don't you videotape some of your stuff and put it on YouTube? I don't watch YouTube. I watch my tube, all right? In my house, it's on the wall. I watch mine. I don't watch yours. So YouTube? Okay, fine. But we will video some things. We're going to enter the 21st century. Glory to God. We're a couple decades late, but we're all right. We're going to get there. So, as Romans 12 says, having gifts differing according to the grace given to each one of us, we're going to be serving, as it talks there in the ministry of helps. And 1 Corinthians 12 actually talks about that in verse 28, that how God set some in the church and appointed them as helps and administrations. And that's really what we are endeavoring to look at and seeing how that works and those responsibilities are going to work. And one of the things I want you to understand that when Sean is going to be stepping in and taking responsibility to give some order and structure to things, he's representing us. He's speaking on our behalf. So when he does and he comes in that position as the associate pastor, that's why I believe it's important. He was licensed over a year ago or whenever, a couple of years ago. We licensed him because he was the youth director and children's church director and all that kind of stuff. We needed to license him. It's now time to ordain him. In the ministry, you have licensing and ordination. There's two different things. Ordination also then gives you the right to marry and bury. And it gives you permission to go into certain places that sometimes are off limits, especially with some of the new rules in hospitals. You have to be in some hospitals now an ordained minister to get in to minister, and you have to be invited. You can't just show up as a minister and want to walk around the halls in the hospital. That's not kosher anymore. But you do need to be, in some cases, some groups let you be a licensed minister. Others require you to be an ordained minister. So we will have him ordained, as I said, here coming up in a couple weeks. We'll have an ordination service here as part of the service and do laying out of hands and make it official. So I just encourage you to be praying for us, because I believe years ago we had a very strong word come from Pastor Mary. She's, that prophetic side of her came out. Order precedes increase. How many remember that? I was reminded of that word here recently. I'd let go of that. I'd forgotten about it. And when we were talking about this again, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is exactly what we're fulfilling. Order precedes increase. I believe with all my heart that we are positioning ourselves for increase. Because, as Pastor Mary said, there's some of those things that need to get done. I should not be doing them. Again, not that I couldn't do some of it. I just can't get around to doing all of it. I don't need to be doing all of it. Pastor Mary doesn't need to be doing all of it. We need to be delegating some of this. And I believe Sean will be tapping into a lot of you, because let me just say this. If something catastrophic happens in the world where revival really hits the way people have been praying for 100 years, and we have a Welsh revival, we have a Azusa Street revival, if we have some of the fruit of the revival, the Welsh revival, if we have one of those kind of things, you will see dozens of people coming in here every week. I have a vision for that. Pastor Mary had an actual dream about that. Do you remember? She shared that. And so we have to be prepared as if that could happen any day, because it could happen. We have no understanding or no awareness of when that move of God's going to happen. We were fortunate enough to be swept in during the charismatic move And, you know, there are certain sovereign things that God does do when he does an outpouring and a timing, which is connected to the church being hungry, the church praying, the church seeking. And guess what? There's a result. And the church collectively has been crying out. You can't talk to anybody without them saying, man, we're just tired of the complacency in the church. We're tired of the... I can't tell you how many minister friends I have that are just discouraged because they've seen their churches dwindle, not grow. We're all thinking, man, we should all be prospering and growing. And then I have to remind them, unfortunately, about John 15. There's some pruning going on. But what happens after pruning? Growth. We've been pruned. And I'm saying, Lord, we've been pruned enough. I'm feeling like a prune. And I don't want any more pruning, please. Enough is enough. Now it's time for some fruit. Amen? But that's what we've been praying about. Again, part of that is why we're launching Monday Night Prayer again. That's why, the 242 groups, we've asked them, pray for the empty chair. Stir those things up. Because otherwise, I mean, that's where it's at. So I trust I'm getting this across to you that every single one of us has an opportunity to run with the vision and implement the vision. You are a vital part of that vision. And you may not understand where you fit in it right now as far as helps and administrations or what, but you are a vital part of it. And don't be surprised then if you are asked to step up. Because I've been sharing for a long time. Why did we go through the whole In Search of Timothy? I said it a dozen times. There's a time coming when we are going to have to say, all hands on deck. All hands on deck. And right now you might sit around going, so, well, what do we need that for? Do you know, our grandson is in the Navy right now, and one of the things that he just went through is fire training. You know, they train and they train and they train and they train to put out certain kinds of fires with the intent that hopefully they never have one. I'm hoping we catch on fire.
Amen.
But I'm also hoping that we're trained to deal with it when it comes. Not to put it out, but to fan the flames. Amen? But you and I need to be that spark. You and I need to be praying on Monday nights. You and I... In fact, I'm going to encourage you 242 people, if you're taking the month of June off, be here on Monday night if you're going to be off that week. Instead of move your Wednesday night to Monday night. You can join us on Monday night here for prayer. We've had 18, 19 people here the last couple of weeks, and it's been powerful. It's been amazing to me. I've just heard from God every single time. Things have really been amazing to me. That's all I can say. So anyways, as we've said, these responsibilities, these authorities, they're all coming together, and God's just got some really good things. So when you think about it, just be praying about it. Just pray for us. Again, let me just read this. I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly to you, that I may also be of good comfort or encouraged when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And I believe that John fits that description. For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ, but you know the proof of him, and as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, your messenger, he that has ministered to my wants and needs. And Romans 15 says this, now the God of patience and consolation then grant to you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So I'm going to ask you to receive him. I'm going to ask you to receive each other as God starts to reposition and possibly some people and jobs and responsibilities in the ministry of helps. You know, one of the things that as soon as we get the locks on the door that have been ordered, and so we can move our equipment here, things are going to start to change. We'll start to get the monitor up. We'll start to have our own speakers. We'll start to have I'm looking forward to having my own microphones on again. Glory to God. There's a lot of things that we're going to need help so that one or two people aren't doing everything. We're going to need to be asking and looking and expecting people to step up. And that means coming early, having a team to set up beforehand, having a team to tear down and make sure everything gets put away properly. So, again, Sean will be overseeing all that for us, working with the Ministry of Helps people. Josh has been in charge of Gus. You say, what's Gus? Greeters, ushers, and security. So that's Gus over there. So we have an understanding of all that. That's all going to get we're going to step it up again, because honestly, it's all been pretty loosey-goosey the last couple years since we moved from the sanctuary into the upper room, and we watched it deteriorate. In fact, we had lunch with Brother Dave Ogren the other day. He had just happened to be in town and said, hey, can we get together? And spur of the moment, we made it happen. And because he's been one that's been praying with us for almost 2 years about Sean and all the things at the church. And so he was very aware of it, and he was so excited he wanted to hear all about it. But he reminded us of some things, and we're just going to have to step it up. If we expect things to change, we're going to have to be the change agents. We're going to have to expect that. It comes through prayer and being a doer of the word. Amen.